Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
What a crazy world we live in. And all the and you know, how ironic that the word that the Lord had given me to share was on happiness. And sharing it on the memorial of 9/11. But you know, our younger generation, my kids, they grew up in a world that it's normal to turn on TVs and electronics and see planes fly into buildings. I never grew up that way. That was something that was in a distant land that, you know, I had uncles and family that was in Vietnam, but that was over there, right? So that mentally there was this partition that, well, it never touched me, right? But when it comes to home, all of a sudden, it gets real, don't it? The dangers of the world and the tragedy of life that can happen, it becomes really, it hits home, don't it? And the thing about, you know, tragedy and traumatic events like that is it indelibly puts a mark on your soul where you never forget, do you? Now, the mark, it don't have to fester and it don't have to cause all these emotions, but it's still there, isn't it? I mean, how many know exactly where you were and what you were doing at the time you heard about the World Trade Center? Man, I do. I was in Floyd Baker Boulevard down there in Gaffney getting a burrito combo for breakfast. I mean, right down to the penny what I was doing, right? And so for the Lord to lay this on my heart about looking for happy, I was like, are you sure on 9/11? Yeah. And I'll tell you how this came about. Do you ever catch yourself just sounding like your parents and grandparents, and it just falls out of your mouth, and you're like, well, where did that come from? Happened to me. So I'm having one of these deep, long, philosophical discussions last week, celebrating my oldest son's birthday, and it goes into, honey, we were at 2, 3 in the morning, just talking about everything from the meaning of life to the evidence of God and everything in between. And one of the children said something about happiness, and me being a father, pastor, all I was wanting to do was to contextualize, to prioritize where happiness is. And this came out of my mouth. God's not concerned about our happiness. Now, to an extent, that's true. How many know that? To an extent, that's true. Because God has put me in situations and places, and it was Him. He did it. And I was not happy. And I prayed, Scott. And it just seemed to fall on deaf ears. Yeah. And so that just, Mike, that sort of fell out of my mind. And that was my grandfather. Life ain't about happiness. You know, all of a sudden, it just fell out of my mouth. And I went to bed that night, and I laid down. And I kid you not, it was like, I didn't hear the audible voice of God, but it was like, do you know what my first written sermon was? I'm like, what? My first published sermon on planet Earth, what was it about, Terry? The Beatitudes, blessed is man, blessed is... You know what the word blessed means? Happy. Happy is the man who's in this situation because this is what will happen. Happy is the man who's in this situation because this is what will happen. And it sort of convicted me in this one regards. I have at times spiritualized happiness to a point where I have conditioned my expectations that don't expect to be happy. And if you get nothing else out of today's message, this is for someone. God's here telling you, you have permission to be happy. It's okay to be happy. Tragedy happens. Life becomes painful. There's all kinds of things that can touch our life that don't mean you can't be happy. And I'm not talking about joy, by the way. I'm talking about happiness. Because, see, this is the way I would spiritualize it. Well, you know, it's the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's joy. I have joy. I have joy. And in that way, if I'm not happy, it's okay. Well, sometimes that's the truth. Sometimes you just can't be happy. And it is the joy of the Lord that pushes me. Listen, when Jesus was going to the cross and was enduring all that, it didn't say, man, he was just pitching a party. He was just so happy about it. He loved it. It said it was the joy that was set before him that he endured. So joy is the highest priority, right? But what's the difference? We use these words sometimes in church and it gets conflated to mean, you know, this mega mash of nothingness. Joy is an attitude. Joy is an attitude. I choose to have joy. I put on the mind of Christ. It's his joy. Jesus said it's the doing the will of the Father. The meat, what gives him sustenance, what brings him life, is to do the will of the Father. That's the joy. All right? But you know what? 4 to 6 ounces of protein, 2 cups of veggies, a healthy fat, 3 times a day for an 8-hour window is the sustenance I need. It's the diet I'm on. However, when I can learn to season it and prepare it certain ways, boy, it's a whole lot easier to swallow. And that's the difference between just joy and joy with happiness. Sometimes I got to eat my veggies. Sometimes, Pastor John, it's okay to enjoy them. To actually say, hey, I'm looking forward to this. This is nice. This is pleasant. So let me give you permission today. It's okay to be happy. You're not betraying anyone by being happy. But happiness given by the world might taste great, as the beer commercial says, but what? It's less filling. It's empty calories. It just shows up places it shouldn't show up. Right? But we can be happy. So I want to get into this. Is my clicker on? Do we have ESPN? I don't know how this thing works. Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Joy versus happiness. So let's get into this. It says here in Matthew 5:36, we'll go through this and break it down, and then we'll try to beat the Baptist to the buffet. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's nine paths to happiness right there. There's 9 ways to get happy. So if you're looking for happy, he laid out a roadmap. A biblical roadmap that he stands behind, puts his name on. You know those things that touch us all the time? You know, I was just reading about Job the other week. There's an interesting character. Have y'all ever studied Job? Be prayed up before you study it. It's one of those. I'm like, man. You know the devil had to go ask permission of God before he could touch Job? He had to. Now, here's the thing. The critic will criticize the character God. But the believer that knows his God knows that God always sees the end and is willing to put you through something so he can give you double for whatever trouble hits your life. And so he said, all right, go ahead. Hit him with your best shot. And so you know the story. But here's the thing that just has amazed me. Did you notice Satan took everything from Job but his wife? I can just imagine that story. Satan's like, all right, boys, we got permission. We're going to get him. And they said, all right, we got his business. We got his cattle. We got his money. We got his kids. Who's getting his wife? And the devil, oh, no, 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 no. So when I get to heaven, I want to meet this lady because she must have been one kind of, you know, anyway. Thank God I did not have Job's wife. That's all I'm going to say. Amen. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there's access to our happiness. And where does that access point at? In the kingdom. In the kingdom. He says this. When you are in the kingdom, the passage there says in Ephesians 2:19, he says that we are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens in a family. We have belonging. Sometimes the biggest driver of unhappiness is just having a sense, and Pastor Terry's been speaking on this for a month now, about belonging. You know, that is such a crucial psychological need that we just sort of like, but I'm telling you what, isn't it soul nourishing when you're around people that you don't have to put on airs? When you can just take your shoes off and say, what's up, brother? And y'all just talk. And now all of a sudden, I don't have to play this role, and they don't have to play this role, but we're just hanging. I'm telling you, that is just nourishing. That's happiness. And that's in the kingdom of God. That's in his family right here. You know, before I got up here, Gina said, you know, now play it straight. No jokey jokey. And I says, they know me. She said, yeah, but then you're going to have to come back and apologize next week. And it's just like... New beginning. How many needs a mulligan every once in a while? I need them for non-golfers. That's where you can do it again, right? I need another shot at this. He says over there in John 3:3, if you want to look that up, something, he says, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. What is being born again? A fresh start. A starting over, because the original start just didn't work. And through God's salvation, he says his mercies are new every morning. Amen. You know what? I don't have to beat myself over what happened yesterday, because today's a new day. Yesterday is gone. Today's today. And I've got all the grace I need for this day to accomplish what he's called me to. So whatever's happened in your past, leave it there, as the song says. It's gone. You've got today. What are you going to do with it? If you want to be happy, if you want to experience the emotion of happiness, get connected to his kingdom, where it says, today is the day that the Lord has made. I will be, and I'll be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. He says that there's good news. Mark 1:15, there's good news. If you want to look that up sometime. He says that they are good health, according to Luke 10:9. And there is authority, according to Matthew 6:19. All of that is found in his kingdom. But wait, there's more. Act now, and you can have the rest as well. There is so much that God has for us. And if that don't make an impact on how you feel, then we're not connecting to it. Amen? Poor in spirit. So let me ask you this. To get there, he says, that blessed are those Happy is the person who is poor in spirit. I want real quickly to tell you, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? He says, these are the assets, these are the ways you can find happiness if you are this, poor in spirit. I looked it up, emptying yourself of your own ability, totally reliant and okay with being reliant on Him, in complete surrender of His will. When I have that disposition, when it's okay, listen, you can have more degrees than a thermostat. You can have more letters than the alphabet behind your name. You can come from the finest pedigree around. But if you don't have His kingdom and you don't have Him, then you got the weaker hand, my friend. All we have to have is Him. I'm telling you what, I have been in meetings, I've been in situations where I was punching way above my weight class. There was no reason I should have been in that room. There's no reason I should have been taken serious. Yet God used me somehow, I don't know how, and allowed me to experience things that I don't have the education for, I don't have the pedigree for, I don't have the experience for. That is the God we serve. But the disposition is, I'm poor in spirit. And being okay with being not okay. Hey, I'm a little bit broken. But God, I'm telling you what, it's amazing how He can use this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What does that mean? He means companionship. I'm telling you what, if there's never been a time where there's just more need of God's experiencing the reality that He is truly and genuinely there, it's today. And it brings happiness, comfort, and care. There's hope according to Romans 15, 13. There is a purpose according to 2 Corinthians 1, 4. One of my favorite verses is, comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted with. Every time something touches my life, there's a reason for it. There's purpose for every pain I ever feel. And because there's purpose for every pain, then all of a sudden it doesn't become a woe is me, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, and I have to feel this way. I don't have to feel anyway. I can have His joy. I can experience His happiness because I know if it's touching me, it's going to be okay, and it's for a purpose. And my load is lighter. I don't have to carry all of this weight. Matthew 11, 30 says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He lightens the load. And then there is protection according to Psalms 23, 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They do what? They comfort me. I'm telling you, there is divine happiness on tap for us that will believe and receive what He says. Mourn. What does it mean to mourn? Of course, we all know what that means. And I just want to bring this one thing out. There are things in our life, there's things going on that we didn't ask for. We didn't want. We didn't order. It just showed up at our door. And because of that, we're in mourning. And if you're in that situation, I want to encourage you that my God says He will supply every need according to His riches and glory. If you are in that state of mourning because of nothing that you ask for, life just happened, I want to encourage you today, it's okay that when the time is right, when the grace is there, to be happy. Give yourself permission to be happy. You are not betraying anyone or any situation by finding happiness after the time of mourning. That's the ways of God. But I want to bring something else right here. One of the things that we got to be willing to do is being okay to choose something that we know we're going to have to mourn over. See, so many times I have gone after things because I'm trying to be happy. I'm trying to be happy. And what it does is it puts me in relationships with things or people that are not good for me. It's not good for me. And to the extent that I need to let them go, I need to be okay with the mourning. Sometimes we have to choose to mourn things. I got to let this toxic relationship with this people, person, or thing, I got to let it go. Because I can't have the backside of that, blessed those who are mourned because they will be comforted. I can't have His comfort until I first enter this state of mourning, and I can't mourn something that I still have in my hand. If I'm willing to let it go and I'm willing to feel the pain of it leaving my hands, my God just promised me something, that He will comfort me. He will comfort me in ways that I've never been comforted before. But I first have to do what? Like Disney says, let it go. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I love this one here. I love this one here because it opens up a possibilities that you and I probably sometimes just don't really appreciate. And that is this. He says that the meek shall inherit the earth. What he's saying is that in your workplace, in your ability, come on, clicker. My clicker's broken. Do I have to point it at the TV? I bet you I do, don't I? Are you pointing up there? That's where it's at? Okay. In my work. See, I'm sitting here. Where is ESPN? In my ability. In my leadership. In authority. In abundance. This is all on tap for those who are willing to be meek. Every single one of those, he's promising. He says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Look those up sometimes because I know we got to move here. But here's the thing I want to bring out. Meekness is not a personality type. Meekness is a disposition of attitude, not a personality, that is quick to accept his management of my affairs without dispute or resistance. Somebody asked Bobby one time, you know, how did he memorize all the scripture? Because if anybody's ever heard Bobby when he comes to speak, he's just like a Rolodex. I mean, he's almost like a concordance. He's just spitting it out. I can see his brain working. It's going off of one word, and I think his brain just shows all the scriptures in that particular passage that's got that particular word, and he's just spitting it out. And they asked him, how did you, because he says it's not like him in other areas of his life to have that ability. So this must be something from the Lord, right? And they said, well, how did you access that? And he says, when I hear God tell me to do something, I do it, and I do it immediately. He would say, and I believe that was when he was talking about, he says, I basically, when I hear something, I don't hesitate. I don't delay. I go and I do it right then and there. And I got to thinking about that. Why is that so important? I mean, obedience is better than sacrifice, right? So I'm going to obey the Lord. But give me a little bit of time here. I mean, I want to weigh this thing out. I want to explore my options. I want to do due diligence. And the word meek there says when we have this disposition that I'm going to do what he has asked me to do, when I know it's his will, when I know, I'm not saying jump off of impulse, I'm not saying jump off of what I think I heard, when I know, okay, thus saith the Lord, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I act like that, he says, according to his scripture there, that I've got a boatload of goodies. I'd like to apologize for what I said on September 11th. It was out of character of me. I don't know what happened. Did that cover it? Sorry. I got a lot of stuff that he's offered me if I would just be willing to act, willing to respond, just like that. So the question is, do I have a meek disposition? Not a personality. He's not getting into personality types. I mean, God love people that are meek and mild and soft-spoken. I think you have the most attractive personality type there is to have. I wished I had it. I do. Mike Duncan just said he wished I had it. He says, come on. My wife wished I had it. And to the extent I can work on it, I'm going to. But my natural personality is to be someone that someone else would be willing to pay $400 to pie in the face. $455. Do I have a $460? And that's just what I got. So you work with what you got, right? So I just like to pre-apologize for what's about to offend you. That's just the way I have to walk around in life, because I know just one of those, right? But with all of my weirdness and my abrasive personality, I can access the happiness that this verse affords me by quickly responding when he says to do something, just do it. Whether I understand it or not, just do it. Just obey him. Do I obey him quickly? Do I accept the direction without understanding the destination? Do I have to know everything before I'll do anything? Because when I can say, I don't understand this, but I know he's asking me to do this, I have adopted a meek disposition. And blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit. Ooh, that's a good word. You know what inheritance means? I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to work for it. It was given to me. Amen, amen. We're moving. All right, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Here's the access points real quick. Complete satisfaction and contentment is what you're being offered there for your happiness pleasures this morning. That means financial. That means weakness. That means in my changes. That means in my suffering. That means future. I will have complete satisfaction and contentment. I want to bring out that financial component for just a minute because, you know, anytime you bring up money in church, there's always, whoop, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? I was at a pastor's conference, I think it was EFI, years ago, up in whenever Jim Baker showed up. And Jim Baker was just let out of prison, and he was talking about what the Lord had talked to him about and told him in prison. And he was the one that brought up this verse of Hebrews 13:5. What does it say? It says, keep your life free from money, the love of money. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now what Jim didn't know and I didn't know is that verse would be an anchor to my soul in the coming years. As I lost my business and lost everything, lost my house, lost my cars, had $4.83 in my account, standing in a food bank over at Yoka Fellas, talking to a member of another church that I used to serve at, and being told that, "What are you here to pray with people today?" And I says, "No, it's me that stands in the need of prayer. Because if I don't get some cans of food, we're not going to eat." What Jim didn't know is that verse there, for him breaking it down to me, saved my life. Because, folks, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. You can ask my wife. This is no act. I like to cut up. But I'm going to tell you, in those moments, in those times, I had never contemplated hurting myself or doing anything, but I had no hope. And hope deferred causes the heart to grow sick. And a sick heart will think about all kinds of crazy things that they can do to themselves to get out of the pain that they have. If you study that verse out, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says it 5 different times in the original manuscript. The translators didn't put it in the way it's written in the original manuscript. And you have to ask yourself, why would the Holy Spirit orchestrate the writer of Hebrews, who some think is Paul, to repeat himself 5 different times? Exactly, Henry Ann. She goes, because he knew years later it'd be this boy in Western North Carolina that's a little thick in the skull, that if you want him to do anything, you better tell him a couple times if you want to get anything through to him. Because what's driving the love of money? What's driving this? Because I feel like I'm going to be left out. It's all me. It's sink or swim, do or die. It's all up to you, boy. There is no, it's you. And that gave me such comfort that he said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, or leave you destitute. It goes on and says, begging for bread, you know, in the translation. And the point is this. You want to be free from worrying about your finances? Because we live in a time period where inflation's doing this and all this stuff's going on. I know that's a huge driver of a lot of people's unhappiness. I want to share this verse with you this morning and get a hold of it. He won't leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, I don't care whatever pontificate, pundit, or politician you listen to says, my God will never leave you nor forsake you or leave you destitute. And that's all I need. Blessed are the meek. Amen. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst. What does it mean to hunger and thirst? Have this overwhelming desire to know, experience, and live in the state of his work and nature. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Am I trying to earn my own worth? Am I trying to impress others? Do I rise and fall on the opinions of others? Do I rise and fall on the opinions of others? Does it matter that much to me that my self-worth rises and falls based on other people's opinions? Because if it does, I've got a hunger and thirst that's somewhere else. And if my hunger and thirst is somewhere else, then I don't have access to the happiness that he provides in this verse. I'm telling you what, folks, he's got more on tap for us than we know what to do with. I'm telling you, having him in your corner is true freedom. Pastor Terry, 20 years ago, over in that corner right there, did a Wednesday night. Back in the day, Wednesday night was on that side. And then he went over there and everything got changed. I don't know what that means. But he gave this definition of freedom that has stuck with me. And I've used it like 8 different times, sermons, podcasts, and everything else. So I'd like to say, I've always said this, but I heard it from him first. Freedom is this, and it's worth writing down if you've never heard this. Freedom is nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide, and no one to impress. Freedom is nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide, and no one to impress. It was for freedom that Christ gave us freedom. The reason he purchased freedom, the reason he provided us freedom, is so that we could walk in freedom. And freedom is nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide, and no one to impress. We're going to stop right there because there's plenty more here, but if you want the notes here, I've got them, and I'll give them to you. But I will tell you real quick here, blessed are those who are merciful. That's a powerful one because what it opens up is all kinds of things of getting out of debt. Ooh, redeeming time. Having a special need that's special to you. There's all kinds of stuff. That's on the merciful to... Let's see here real quick, just so you have it. Pure in heart. Pure in heart. He says if you're pure in heart, God will show up. Specifically, God will show up in your home, your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, your neighbor. How many needs God to show up in their household? How many needs God? I need God. I need to. He says those who are pure in heart, they will see God. And I'm telling you what, I want to see God in some areas of my life. Because I know if I do, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. So if you're looking for happiness, he's got it. He's got it on tap. He has it for you. Amen? Let me find the word because the word I've got in my head, I can't say. See, that's the Holy Spirit working right there. You see that? That's better than speaking in tongues. That's better than speaking a new language because you know what? That was self-control. The problem is I got a limited vocabulary. Don't marginalize happiness. I'm not saying make it a priority. There's some times that we're going to have to do things that just ain't going to make us happy. But to the extent we can put a little seasoning on what we got to eat, if you got to eat it, if it can taste good, do it. If it's good for you, amen. Let's not, I sounded like my grandfather. God's not concerned about your happiness. Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. Now, he's more concerned about other things, but he's also concerned. If he knows, if he says he's got the hair on my head counted. No, he didn't say that. He says it's numbered. I've always interpreted it as counting. You know, counting means I got 800 and some odd follicles, or probably 700 by now. But I've got whatever the number is, maybe 500. I am the balding ego. Look at that. But I got limited supply, so it's easier to count. But here's the point. Every one of them is numbered. So this morning when I was combing what I got left and one fell out the sink, he knew number 462 just left Terry. That's the difference between number and counting. And all I say this is this. He's intimately involved with us and our lives. He cares that much. If every hair and every hair that used to be on my head is numbered, that is a caring God. Now, I'm making it easier for him, of course, but, you know. Anyway. Did God say something to you this morning? Has God spoken to you? All right. Let's stand. I'll pray for you, and then we'll dismiss. And if anybody wants the notes for the rest of it, I'd be more than happy to give it to you. Lord, I thank you this morning for your people. And I ask right now that you would give us special grace to find access to the joy and happiness that you have afforded us. And I ask for that person that's not giving themselves permission to feel happy again, that you would pull on that heart, you would minister to that soul, you would bind that wound, and you would free us to be okay with feeling happy again. And Lord, to the extent we have to go through a season, I thank you for your grace, I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for what you're doing in our midst, in our people, and in our church and community today. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. I'd like to hear part two, wouldn't you?
No.
Are you going to be here next week?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right.
I'm in it to win it.
In it to win it. So, yeah, now,
I didn't do it for that.
You're a good guy. But, yeah, I really think it's a vital message for us, you know, in getting deeper into, anytime we get deeper into the scriptures. And I know what it means to build messages and sometimes not be able to deliver them. But I want to give them, because we did take some time today to do some other things, and I want to give you an opportunity to finish it up. And I know that you'll be blessed from it. Amen. Good job. Great job. Great job. Amen. I've been knowing him for a long time. And for him to have self-control is God. No, he's good. Let's pray. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've enjoyed today in God's presence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this people. Lord, we're yours. We belong to you. And we truly want you to use us any way you see fit. And we just bless your name. And we ask you now to quicken our hearts to be more obedient, like he was talking about, that we would instantly obey and not contemplate it when we know it's you. Father, so use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to see all the first-time visitors at this door, please. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.